great choice of song there, Tim. How did you know that would be a good song to sing tonight? All right, Psalm 23 is what we're going to be looking at tonight. So that coda at the end, but we didn't go into it. I was about to start on my own, but no. Okay, we're going to read Psalm 23. It's only short, but some good truths in there for sure. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into just three simple thoughts tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for church tonight. Pray you please just help in the delivery of the Word of God. May you bring forth what you want to share, and may you encourage our church tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I realised at our conference last week is that there are many struggling pastors and Christians who are going through things that I guess most of us never really ever get to hear about. I got to speak with one pastor who had shared, we were both sharing some things, and he shared some things with me about his ministry, and that had really discouraged him. And it was very evident that, okay, there are people here that really are going through some things. And it was also evident, I think, when you look back at how the messages started on Sunday and through, they seem to have a bit of a theme that God naturally brought out through the different speakers. And I guess the pastor I spoke to said the message on, I can't remember if it was Sunday night or Monday night, about my confinement is my assignment. That really helped him. He said that was because he was thinking about not coming, but he said that particular message really, really helped him greatly and really encouraged him. With this in mind, I thought about what to bring, and Psalm 23 came to mind, thinking about how many people, including myself, have been struggling, and how we can take personal comfort in the fact that we have a personal God whom we served. When we think about Psalm 23, a lot of people think that it's often a psalm for a funeral, but it is, but it does speak tenderly to the human need. David doesn't just present God as a distant ruler, but as a personal shepherd who knows, who leads, protects, and keeps his sheep. The psalm moves, as you read through it, it goes from a nearness, from fear to faith, and from valley to the house of the Lord. It is a psalm for the living. It's for us, and it teaches us when the Lord is our shepherd, we're never abandoned. We're never unsupported, and we're never beyond his care. So I'm going to look at three things about, I guess, a shepherd tonight. Psalm 23, there is a lot in there, and you could really delve and bring out a lot. But I thought for tonight, we'll just look at three simple things that hopefully will encourage you. It's helped me. The first thing is, in verses 1 to 3, we see that the shepherd is someone who provides. Says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I want you to notice that it starts out there, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Understand that God is a very personal God. We often, as we live our life, we know that God is there. We are aware of his presence. We understand who he is. But sometimes as we live our life, we tend to forget the I guess, the closeness and the personal interest that God has in us. I know there's a lot of Christians who have a very deep relationship with God, and I'd love to work towards that. But sometimes it's easy to get so sidetracked with life that we know that God's there, and we pray and we read, but sometimes we forget how personal our God is. God is our shepherd. It's not just a certain church's shepherd, but it's individually, you have God as your shepherd. And I want you to take comfort in that. The first thing that David says when he mentions about the Lord being his shepherd, he makes the statement, he says in verse 1, I shall not want. I shall not want. To me, that has the idea of being content. Some great contentment. When you think about, I guess, the illustration of a shepherd and a sheep, as you read in these verses, you can maybe picture, as you read them, you can kind of picture a shepherd leading sheep and helping sheep and guiding sheep. But then we want to make that same sort of application for us here tonight. Understand the very personal God that you have as your shepherd is somebody who wants to meet your needs. He wants to meet your needs. Each one of us should be able to clearly say that God meets our physical needs. The Bible has promised us that. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God has promised to do that. In the Bible there it says in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. For the sheep, green pastures is the physical need that the sheep has. Notice the shepherd doesn't just lead the sheep into a barren paddock. The shepherd's never lazy and says, look, I just don't feel like I'm tracking too far today. We'll find somewhere that will just have to do for the sheep, and they'll just have to get by, and maybe tomorrow I'll feel better. A good shepherd would never do that. God is our shepherd. David says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. That tells me that God will supply everything that I need. Not everything that I want, but everything that I need. Sometimes we can think where it says, the psalmist says, I shall not want. And we think, well, God's just going to give me everything that I desire. If you think about the sheep, really what the sheep want is to be fed. They want to be satisfied. They want to be their physical needs met, and the shepherd does that. And God knows exactly what you need from day to day. Amen. I'm really glad that God just doesn't give me everything that I want. Because our flesh craves so many different things. We see something and we think, I wouldn't mind that. And we see this over here and we think, I wouldn't mind that. Now, the things in themselves may not be bad or harmful, but for me, it could be harmful. And God says, look, you may want that, but you don't need that. And I've been learning that it's easy to get, when you're not content, it's easy to get sidetracked on every shiny thing that comes along. Everything that may be good on its own may not be a bad thing, but when you start to investigate it, you can see it takes a lot of time, a lot of money, and may not be the best thing for me. And we need to understand that God will give us exactly not what we want, but what we need to be satisfied, to be content. So God supplies our physical needs, but along with that, the shepherd supplies our spiritual needs. Notice he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Not only is he just giving us the green pastures, but the sheep get to lay down, which means not only are their physical needs getting met, but they're so comfortable that they can finally rest where the shepherd has brought them. And the same with us. As God provides what we need, our physical needs, as we start to rest, as we start to be totally satisfied, we start to understand that God has allowed these things. And the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." As we start to trust God, and as we start to realize that it is God who is providing these things, our spiritual side starts to get encouraged, and we start to rest in the place where God has us. Contentment is being satisfied and not desiring the extra things that we see come up in the Christian lives. And it can cause us to be very disconnected. When we start to get our eyes off of where God has us, and we start to want other things, or we start to desire to be different places, or we desire to chase something more than what God has allowed, we start to be disconnected. We start to be discontented, but we also do get disconnected as well. Keeping our eyes on the things that God has allowed will keep our contentment. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." If you want to be a very satisfied Christian, if you want to be a very contented Christian, then be happy with what God has allowed in your life. Always strive to do better for God, but don't strive to get out of, away from where God wants you to be. There's always that saying, it's always the grass is greener on the other side. It doesn't always, it may look that. It's like that shiny object syndrome. I really would really love to be over there doing that thing where God has you here doing this thing. We need to be able to rest in those green pastures that God has given us. It says that he leads us beside the still waters. That has the same thing. The green grass, the still waters, the coolness of the water, the very satisfaction of God providing. I like what the Bible says, and the reason why God does this, because it's in his very nature to do so. John chapter 10 and verse 11 says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." It's always in God's nature to do and go beyond for his sheep. He's willing to give his life for the sheep. I think about the illustration with David when he was a shepherd boy. He clearly showed where his heart was at and his nature was at when there was danger for the sheep, he went out and protected against the bear and a lion. That's what a shepherd does. And God is the one who puts his life on the line for each one of us. That's in God's nature. He will always do what's best for the sheep. So I want to encourage you for the first thought is that the things that God provides for you, God is doing it for your benefit. God is doing it for your support, for your satisfaction. And I think if we start to take that in mind, that contentment that God wants us to have, and not just chase every shiny object, I think we'll find our satisfaction levels will start to increase, our satisfaction of our Christian walk. Because it's so easy to get discouraged in our Christian walk. So many external things do come on us, just like that pastor at conference that I spoke to. Things that hound us and come on us to make us discouraged and dissatisfied. Seems like Satan knows very well how to do that. But we need to be able to trust God that the things that God has allowed for us give us the satisfaction and the contentment that we need. So the first thing in the first three verses is we have a shepherd who provides. In verse 4, we see a shepherd who protects. We move from, I guess, the satisfaction and the contentment of the grass and the stream and where we're resting in. Verse 4 kind of moves through into the valleys. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." When things are going well, and we see God's hand of blessing, and we see God's provision, and we see God moving us into lush supply of our physical and our spiritual needs, and we get into that restful state, that's great, And I hope that's where you're at. But sometimes life isn't always like that. Sometimes God has to take the sheep through something because he wants to lead to another pasture that may even be better than where we were just restful. And sometimes the place or the way to get there is sometimes through a valley. Sometimes it's not as comfortable. Sometimes it's not as green. Sometimes it's not as satisfying as where we just were. But God leads us through that. God leads the sheep through that, leads them through the valleys. It would be good if our Christian life was just always green pastures. I think there are some movements that kind of, the prosperity movement, that it's always going to be good. It's always going to be great. It's always going to be God's a blessing and everything. But God does lead through things. But he is a shepherd who protects. Notice with me, the psalmist says, I will fear no evil, because God's there to protect. He says, for thou art with me. Remember we said at the beginning, God's a very personal God. I want you to understand and remember that God is always present. Now, I can personally testify when sometimes when we're going through things, sometimes it doesn't feel like God's present. And Satan works where you believe that lie. Sometimes things get so bad that you just can't feel God, you can't see God, I guess your mind forgets that he's there. But that's why scripture is there to encourage us, to remind us that God says, I will never leave you, he says, I won't fear, for thou art with me. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, it tells us that God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We're reminded of that in scripture. I guess in this verse, it kind of says, the psalmist says, look, I'm not going to fear. I know you're with me. But he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even through the hard things, we can actually be comforted. Often it's God's direction that we need to go through some things. Even though it's challenging, even though it's dry and barren, even though we don't have the comfort and the niceness and the rest that we had before, we can still be comforted because God is close, God is near, he knows exactly what he's doing. But the comfort comes from, he uses two terms there. He says, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's rod and God's staff comfort us. Sometimes going through these hard times, God may need to, you think about, and we use the picture of a sheep, I think it illustrates it well. As a sheep is going through the wilderness or going through a valley and there is no greenness, sometimes they might start to get a little bit hungry on the way and they're going to want to run off. And sometimes the only way the shepherd can bring the sheep back into the direction they need to be done is sometimes use the rod and whack them on the back and bring them and correct them to bring them back into line. Because when we go through valleys, often our eyes, it'd be good if we just always said, look, I'm going through this hard thing and I'm trusting in God and I'm walking exactly the way God wants us to. But sometimes that isn't the case. Sometimes Christians do get discouraged. They get their eyes off God and in their despair and in their searching for that next satisfaction or that next fulfilling that they really are searching for, they often will go off track in the valley. And sometimes getting that correction from God with his rod, even though it may not feel pleasant at the time, reassures us that God's still in control. God hasn't left us. Sometimes he needs to do that. And that can be a comfort. But then as you think about it, it mentions a rod and a staff. And then the staff is obviously like a hook. And sometimes we don't need a whack, but we just need a little bit of God's correction where he puts that hook around the neck of the sheep. And he might just need to pick them up a little bit, carry them a little bit, maybe pull them into line. And I guess it just shows that God understands exactly what the sheep need. Sometimes it is a correction, and sometimes it's you're getting into danger there. You're getting a bit close to that greenness on the other side that's bad for you. I'm going to reach out with the hook or the staff and I'm going to just grab you and I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to carry you for a little bit. Because you don't seem to be capable enough to get back in line with the other sheep in the direction that you're supposed to go. So there's a very vivid picture there of a rod and a staff that when you take time to, I guess, play out those scenarios of the physical nature of a shepherd and a sheep, it starts to make a spiritual sense. And I'm very glad that God is the God who comforts us, but I'm glad that he's a God who is in control. No matter how dark it gets, God's presence in the correction or in the lifting up closer, in God leading me through that valley, it proves to me that he is a God who protects. He provides, he protects. And then in verse 5 and verse 6, he's a God who promises. The Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We started with, in the first three verses, we started with God leading us into the green pastures and beside the still waters, providing everything we need, and we're totally at rest and peace there. And then as God says we need to transition into something more, he brings us through the valley. He knows it's difficult. We're going through some tough times. It's not as satisfying and encouraging as it was before. But God's still there. He's still leading. He's still protecting. And then it's kind of like the picture from in my mind as I read this, it's like now we've gone on the other side. God's promises are there. It's like God prepares blessings for us even through the midst of trials. He says there, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Isn't that good? That even sometimes as we're going through that valley, as there are enemies around, as we have Satan who tries to discourage us and get us down, as God leads and as God blesses and promises, he starts to bless even in those things. And it's like God's now, we've gone through the hard part of it, and God says, "Look, stay with me. I've got some blessings for you." Even in the midst of our tough things, God prepares a table for us to encourage us, to provide for us. God can bless even in the midst of trials. But then it says there, at the end of verse 5, he said, "My cup runneth over." I think about the blessings of God, and if you stick with God, and if you trust God, and you allow God to lead you even through the tough times, it's like God promises blessings that it's like it's just an overflow. Have you ever gone through some tough times and you've been discouraged or you've really struggled, and then you just seem to come through it all, and God opens a door, maybe a way out of that problem, or he provides something miraculous? It could be a financial thing. It could be a health thing, and God blesses and heals, or he provides for that financial thing, and it's just like you're overwhelmed with so thankful to God. Amen. My cup runneth over. Mm-hmm. It's like God is in total control, and even though I couldn't do it, even though I couldn't get myself out of that problem, God has miraculously promised that he will help and he will be there and he will bless. The psalmist says, "My good blessings will overflow. My cup runs over." But then he says there in verse 6, and this is what I guess encourages me, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." God wants to bless your life. God, he just doesn't, as I'll go back to what I kind of said in the beginning, God's blessing doesn't mean he's going to give you what you want. But God wants to give you what you need over and over and over again. It's when our own thinking is askew, where it's not in line with what God thinks, that's when we get dissatisfied with things. But if we start to understand what God is doing and allow God to do what he does, the Bible promises that that God's blessings will follow us all the days of our life. Whether we're resting, whether we're going through the hard trial, or whether we have moved on to the next thing or the next place where God wants to refresh us again. I think sometimes we get to a place where we get so restful in God, we think it just can't get any better than this. And we just want to stay there. Can you imagine if the sheep just stayed in the one spot? It would just get fat and lazy, and it wouldn't be able to do what the shepherd needs it to do. So sometimes the shepherd has to take it through to the next place. And the sheep are just thinking, I wish I could have stayed there. But sometimes I think as we go through things, when we get to that next stage, it's like, so glad I wasn't back there in the green pasture. This is so much better. And then God lets us rest there for a little while. And then he says, guess what? There's another place I want to take you to. It's another valley. But we've got to learn that God is our personal, very close, very near, very protective, very provative, and very promising God. So I hope these truths, and I haven't been long, I hope it's been enough for you tonight, but it's there to keep our sight on biblical truth no matter whatever season you find yourself in. Whether you're in the valley or in the green pasture, your very personal God has your best in mind and knows exactly what you need. And we do have a very good God. Right, Jewel, I'll hand it over to you.